Hey there, boys and girls, and welcome to another Radio Fishing. And this is the Area Fishing Report, and we're a little late on this one. We've been trying to keep up, but unfortunately and fortunately, the crowd or the store's been really, really busy, and just getting time to do this, sit down and get it done has been a little difficult, but we're back with you again, trying to get back on schedule. And Robert's here. Yay! And the crowd goes wild. Hey, Robert. Okay.
Pretty feisty crowd.
Okay, just wave at them. You know, there you go. See, they respond well to direction.
To the president. Wave.
Yes.
You very look a lot superficial.
You more like Princess Di, but that's okay.
Whatever. Still a superficial wave.
Okay.
She looked better doing that.
Superficially, she looks better, or did look better doing anything.
Yes.
Alrighty then. Where are we going to start?
Let's start in the river.
Okay.
The river is, it's actually doing pretty well. Not phenomenal, but you got a lot of fish moving and leaving the rivers right now, so you're seeing a lot of activity. You know, the tarpon are moving around, getting ready to head out towards the harbor. The gar are super excited and doing a lot of tail slapping. What few snook that did go up there this winter are starting to move around and starting to head out, you know, and then your resident fish that stay up there year-round are kind of milling around looking for some of their deeper summer haunts where they want to stay. So basically from, I'd say, 761 all the way down to the 41 bridge, just experiment and fish a lot of different areas and move a lot. So those fish are moving.
Trolling's a good idea up there right now. Yeah. I sat and Terry, myself, and Dad went out. We fished around some of the islands down by I-75. Didn't do much at all. I think Terry caught 6 catfish. My dad caught 4, and I caught 1 redfish. Almost legal. But
that's not real productive.
It wasn't real, real productive, but we weren't real, real excited about what we were doing either. We were just kind of
enjoying the day.
Get away. Yeah, just kind of hanging out in the boat, and we were chatting and fishing a little bit while we were doing that. But
well, it was your first day off too in 2 months, so it was probably just nice to catch your breath for a little bit.
That was the problem. I don't think I had the energy to really get out and hardcore fish.
Right.
So but
that's what you're supposed to do out there sometimes. Sometimes it's not about just catching the fish. It's about decompressing and relaxing a little bit.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on down around, well, I-75, the bridge up there. You're going to see tarpon up there. You've got some snook down deep around the bumpers. A couple of oddball Goliath grouper, to coin a phrase from you. A little bit of different mixed schooly fish and still some whiting left up there.
Right.
But 41's been a bigger story.
Definitely. 41's got cobia on it, some small sharks moving in, some incidental Spanish mackerel, whiting, few trout, been some good snook at night, even some mangrove snapper popping up here and there.
But going back to the cobia, I mean, it's on right now. This is the Definitely. Cobia thing. And Berkeley Powerbait eels, the Hoagie Swim Shad that sat on the shelf for years and didn't sell, just sold out of them just like hotcakes. They're just
right.
But between the Berkeley eel and the big 10-inch hoagies, they're just going crazy with the cobia up there. So
I want to go off on one tangent here for a second because of the cobia that get, you know, populate the 41 bridge. That brings in a whole lot of fishermen.
Yeah.
A couple of things. One is, don't be inconsiderate to all the pedestrians and joggers that are coming through. They don't own the bridge. Clean up your mess. Don't leave all your poles in the way to make it an obstacle course for anybody walking. That's just inconsiderate.
You would think that these idiots would understand that if you screw up the foot traffic on the bridge, they're going to shut the fishing
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
They're going to close it down. Robert's not being mean. Robert is trying to keep the fishing access alive.
We have so many places that get shut down every day in the nation, let alone Florida.
Just around here, once a year, some other place goes where they post it, you're not allowed to fish, just because a couple of idiots cannot be considered enough to get their stuff out of the way. My right. spot, I'm fishing here, this is my stuff, and I'm allowed to do this. But the other people are allowed to walk by.
Right,
and
exactly.
If you're that much of a jerk, please move to another state.
Right, or jump off the bridge.
Yeah, just jump off the bridge, head first down on either end. That'll all be right. fine.
And then the other thing too, though, too, that people got to be aware of, whether it's on Lashley or Ponce or the 41 Bridge, two things. When you're landing that Kobe and bringing him up, don't throw him down on the deck to measure him because it's really hot and it's dry. You're taking off any of his protective slime. If he's an undersized fish and you're planning on releasing him, which you have to if he's undersized, you've wrecked that fish. But the other thing that's most important that most people don't know, bridge gaffs. Bridge gaffs are technically illegal because you are harvesting that fish.
Right.
If it is an undersized fish and you gaff him, you have legally taken possession of him, and most people do not realize that, and they wonder how they're going to get those fish up from the piers or the bridges. They make a net called a pier net.
Yeah, the bridge nets are easy. They're about $30, $30 or $32. You take it, you hang it off the side, you get it about 2 to 3 feet under the water, you tie it off so it's in place, ready to go. And when you hook a fish, you just walk them over, get them over the net, lift up, and you got a nice rope to pick them up with. It doesn't damage the fish.
Right.
And if you can't afford the $30, save your money. Don't buy that six pack.
Right.
You know, for you know, once a week, don't buy a six pack. And in a month, you got enough money to buy, or a couple weeks, you got enough money to buy a bridge pier or pier net.
Exactly. Just most people aren't aware of that. And some people are naive about it, you know, and some people just don't care. But I think the more we try to educate people on it, if it's a legal size fish and you stick it, that's perfectly fine. But if it is an undersized fish, you broke the law.
Well, if you're
going to
keep it and kill it, what's the difference? But if you don't know if it's legal, if it looks iffy, use the net and let the fish grow so you do have one to harvest later.
I don't know a carpenter in this town that's had good measure of fish from 10 to 50 feet off the water flopping around that can tell me it's legal.
But what I'm saying, though, is you look down and if it's iffy, don't use the treble hook gaffs.
Right.
You know, that's all it is. But anyway, getting
sorry
away
about
from
the tangent.
That's okay. Tangent away, Robert. Okay. Spanish mackerel, a lot of them. If you go around the bumper system, they seem like that middle of the harbor, then over towards Punta Gorda. Now, if I'm out there, I'm going to throw out a Storm Twitch on one side and a Maverick Goldeneye on another one, the smaller version, and pull the chartreuse Maverick or the yellow. It doesn't really matter. And on the other side, put the Twitch. And just idle along about 2 to 3 miles an hour until you hit a fish. And once you hit one, just stop, start casting. You know, you don't have to continue trolling. As soon as you one smacks the line, stop and fish. And just cast out small spoons, jigs. Pompano jigs work real well on the mackerel. So do any kind of small spoons. But the main thing is something inexpensive.
Right.
Because you got the one on the line, and 20 or 30 of his buddies are trying to eat what's in his mouth. And if you have swivels on, they're going to hit the swivel. They're going to cut your line. They're going
to hit the line to line knot. And I watched that one year.
It's anything that moves. If the V cutting the water, they're going to strike. So what it's about is using inexpensive lures on them, and you'll do well with it.
Right.
But the old jerk jigger, gotchas, now they're called.
Gotchas.
If you have a couple of those tied on, the smaller versions or even the bigger ones, it doesn't matter. And whether you got a single hook or treble hooks or two or three treble hooks, it's Spanish mackerel. You're going to eat them. And if you're not going to eat them, then, you know, let's get the barbs, pinch the barbs down and make it nice on the catch and release. But other than that, good eating fish. Butter one side, a little bit of lemon herb. I use the McCormick brand lemon herb. I fillet them out. Watch the belly. A lot of weird little bones down there. I'm pretty good at filleting, and I still miss some bones on a mackerel. And butter the side, put a little lemon herb on, put that side down on the grill, hot. And as soon as that starts to brown up, butter the other side, put a little more lemon herb on it, flip it over, brown on both sides, done. It only takes minutes. And literally one of the best dinners. But now that is if I have enough time to get back that day.
Right.
If I'm going to be a long day on the water, I don't keep the mackerel because they're not much good the next day, and the day after they're completely bad. And if you freeze them, it's mushy. It's just not the same. If you're going to get back in time to clean the fish, cook them that night, it is one of the best meals in the harbor, but it is not a fish to save for later.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to be good. But anyway, a lot of mackerel around there. Going over the Port Charlotte side, the canals, lots of snook. I mean, ton of snook moving around. Good snapper activity, big snappers.
Yeah. Yeah, especially at the mouths of all the canals right now. Most of, you know, this winter, not a lot of fish moved up in there, but the fish that did are all starting to migrate towards the mouths of the canals. So you're finding much better activity from, say, the Edgewater bridges out to the mouth of the harbor, with the exception of the Ackerman Waterway, where it's really good all the way up to the lock, the old locks. You know, that usually stays pretty steady because it's just deep flowing, heavy flowing water.
A lot of canals back there to dump out through one canal. Right. Miles and miles of water trying to make it out through one canal. It's like ponds.
Right, exactly.
You know, you get a good water flow, keeps it nice and cool in the summer, keeps the water moving, the bait flowing in the winter. So that Ackerman's a really good shot, especially on windy days.
Right.
And I do the same thing. I troll a lot through there. Yeah. But I'll start off with a small bait, and then I put like a 15 bomber out too. Because I want something little like a Storm Twitch or an 08 Rapala or something like that. And then on my other rod, I want that SIG bomber in the 15 because that little bit bigger bait, I mean, I get a lot of snook, but that one really seems to produce back there. You can use the Texas Chicken as well on the bomber. That one's all actually pretty good, too. That's a
consistent color.
Yep. But getting around over into Mayaca Cutoff, if you're looking for a place to catch fish with shrimp, this is, yes, we've been looking for that place to catch fish with shrimp. A ton of redfish back up in there, a lot of small redfish, slot size and down, lower slot and down, and they're readily eating shrimp. Some of the snook back there are doing well with the shrimp. As you get around over into Mayaca River, the whole thing changes. When you go from the cutoff and you get the other side of Hog Island, now you're into
everything from tarpon, cobia, shark, Spanish mackerel. Even around Hog Island there's been some good pompano, sporadically, but there have been nice fish. What else?
Cobia.
Yeah, cobia. Been
tarpon, though, has been the big story at the mouth of Mayaca. Yeah. I ended up having to post a separate tarpon page just to let people know that it was really hot there, and we had a few days where it was rocking. We're going to do a new tarpon page here in just a few minutes.
And the thing is with tarpon this time of year that a lot of people don't realize, that water temperature's warm, but it's still not that warm yet, so there's a lot of dissolved oxygen in the water, so you're not seeing the stereotypical tarpon rolling like you normally do later on.
How would you say the mouth of Mayaca? Good? Indifferent?
Honestly, I'd probably say good.
Okay.
You know, definitely better than 50-50.
All right.
I just
figured I might as well catch the tarpon maps while we're doing this.
You'll see them rolling every now and then, but the majority, if you do see a fish, usually it's a free jumper. You know, they're out there feeding on some of the bait fish that are out there, and it's just kind of luck of the draw coming across them. They're getting better and better every day. I mean, there's fish been steady, consistent in the past now for 10 days, which we'll get to. Yeah. But
what were you saying before I interrupt you?
With?
I don't remember. I got lost.
Right?
Okay. We were talking about the Mayaca River, and we were talking about Spanish mackerel and pompano, right, and tarpon and cobia and all this other stuff.
Right. And as you move up to El Jobin, right there around El Jobin, during the daytime, there's been a decent snapper bite with a few oddball sharks, oddball trout, and sheep's head, but not a lot of consistency. But you go there at night, and it kind of changes up significantly. There's been some really big mangrove snapper, 12 to 14 inches, pretty consistently. You're not going to catch your limit of them, but they're quality fish. There's also been a really, really good snook bite, but this full moon has got things kind of screwy, so you got like an hour or two window where it's a major feed for those snook, and then it just like a light switch goes out and they're done. So you kind of have to play around and be patient and go out at random times to see what you can get into. As you come around and work your way down towards Cattle Dock, going into Gulf Cove, some of the guys have been doing okay trolling right there, coming through the locks area, picking up a few snook and an oddball redfish. But I haven't heard of a lot of good activity up inside.
No, a lot of those fish are trying to get out to spawn.
Right.
And so they're looking for creeks, or they're waiting for people to open the locks. The snook, even some redfish, but snook, small tarpon, everything's trying to get out of those canals at this point to get back out and, you know, do the whole baby dance.
Exactly.
And, so, anyway, coming down the west wall, Trout Creek has got a few redfish in it. Not much for trout in Trout Creek, but as you work your way down, Pig Branch and all the other ones. You got some redfish at the mouth in them, but a lot of snook trying to get out to the barrier islands. They're all moving down along that wall. Ton of snook over there. But as you get down past Trout Creek, it becomes more of a whitebait situation. You're going to do okay on the shrimp, and you can catch fish. Not like you can in the cutoff, though. But you can do, if you have some type of whitebait, or I'm going to say probably even throwing spoons or twitches or something, more fish.
The 17MR.
17MR, that would be another great one. Anything shiny, looks like a fish, is going to do a little better right now.
Definitely.
I think if we could get the shrimp to get a shiny silver shell on them, they would do pretty dang good right now.
Right.
But they're all looking for that bait fish, snook especially, because this is getting into post-spawn. They're getting ready to do the baby dance.
Pre-spawn.
Pre-spawn. Sorry. I can't never remember sports terms.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. God, you know, you look at me, you think, you know, I'm this sports crazy beer drinking fanatic guy. And I just, you know.
You're not?
I quit back in the 80s. I was in here every day. Every time there was a game on, I was working. So I just never got to see anything. And I just kind of dropped out of the whole thing. But I'm still pretty sure if you get three baskets, you're not out if it's a home run, right?
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Gotcha.
It's a field goal.
Is that soccer?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as we're in the right game.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, coming around down to Cape Hayes, we got some pompano down there. We're looking at some bonnet sharks, things like that. What else is going on in Cape Hayes? Big. I mean, huge snook on the outside of the bars going into Turtle Bay and Bull Bay.
I mean, all through there, just the snook. I mean, and the thing is, like, you're talking about, like, moving down the West Wall and Cape Hayes and all these places. Got to remember, these snook are migrating out towards the passes. So you might go by one spot and not see a single fish. Come back there a half hour later or 2 hours later. Doesn't matter what the tide is, and it's stacked with fish again. These fish are constantly coming through in little droves.
It's your gun.
Oh, okay.
I forgot. I borrowed it the other day and didn't put it back. Figured I'd give it to you. Yes, more armed. Armed and dumbest.
They're just constantly moving around right now, so keep a good visual. You know, those fish may not be there tomorrow, but a different group of fish might move in. So you might see a whole bunch of 40-inch fish in there today, come back tomorrow, and it's all 24-inch fish.
Yep.
You know, so,
but they're going to the same spots.
Yeah,
and they seem to have the same staging spots.
Routine,
I mean,
yeah.
They come into an area, and then those fish will move a quarter mile down, and the next group moves in. And so you've got great big overslot fish, and then and you come back in a day or even hours later, and there's a bunch of small fish have moved in, and then there's big fish that come in. If you get up inside of Turtle Bay, it seems like there's more redfish way in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of snook in the cuts between Turtle Bay and Bull Bay.
Yes.
And
there's a lot of fish moving through there.
There was something else was hitting in there. Really strange. I mean, a fish I would never expect back there, and I forget what it was. But back up in the Bull Bay, you got the same situation. If you want redfish, you're going to be hunting for them. You're going to be put your trolling motor on slow and just keep casting the shoreline, working underneath the branches. You can use shrimp. You can use white bait, whatever you want. But it's working for them. You're going to go around the island and catch one or two redfish. You're going to go around the next island and catch a couple redfish around the next island. And if you find some snook, if you get a snook to hit, stop and fish that spot, because chances are if there's one, there's a dozen.
Right.
And with the redfish, you might find a big school of them, or more than likely,
realistically, one or two.
It's going to be a lot of singles and doubles that are there, not a lot of big bunches. It's just not that time for them. That's going to come later in the year.
Right, exactly.
But working your way around Devilfish Key, a lot of whitebait around Devilfish
right
now. A
whole lot of whitebait there.
A whole bunch.
And you should see more fish activity, too, with the consistency of the whitebait. Right now, the whitebait is just really dumped in there hard in the last few days, so they kind of got out of their routine where you have the snook, the redfish, the sharks, the pompano. You know, usually around those heavy baited areas, you've got a lot of other species, but
for some reason or another, no. I don't know why. We've got massive schools of bait, and there's nothing else there.
Well, they've been so sporadic and inconsistent for the last month. They've actually only been there steady for like the last 7 or 8 days consistently.
But I think one of the reasons the bait goes there is because fish don't hang out there.
Right.
I think that's really, they go to some of these spots because there is no fish in those areas, not of any size. You know, no predatory fish live in those areas.
Right.
As you're working your way up the intercoastal going north, sandfly's got some white bait around it, getting up around the tailing flats, which are the area between Devilfish and up to Catfish Creek, Widden Creek, and all that area. You're looking at some nice redfish along the flats, a few snook, some bluefish, some oddball sharks back on the flats.
Yeah, there's been some nice sharks back in there. There's a lot of little guys, but there's been the occasional, you know, 6 to 8 foot lemon and bull shark cruising through there.
Well, a lemon shark, like a bull shark, can lay still. They don't have to keep moving like a normal shark. They can lay down and sleep. Mm-hmm. They can lay on the bottom and just hang out. And
well, not only that.
That allows them to be in that shallow water.
Not only that, but their primary food source here is mullet. And
right.
Mullet really concentrate back in those bays, so a lot of these sharks right now, this is beginning of pupping season. So you're going to have some of those larger sharks that pup back there, drop their babies in that shallow water, and also go in there to feed real heavy. So that's why you start to see some of these larger lemons and these larger bulls kind of cruising around that area, because one, they're either feeding, or they're getting ready to pup and drop their babies out,
all
or there's
pregnant.
Plenty of food sources.
If it's a female right now, it's pregnant.
Definitely.
April and May, all these fish are pregnant, and they're all going to hatch or give birth between now and middle of June.
Right.
Now, some of the late bloomers will do it late, but May is the primary month to find them. If you can go out and you can find brand newborn hammerheads, lemons, bull sharks, bonnets, I mean, all these fish, newborns out there, and it's really weird because some of them almost still have that protective coating over them. I mean, I've seen
they
them
have
back
that
in the
umbilical
flats.
Mark without a doubt.
Yeah, it's actually amazing to see, because I think they're eggs, but the eggs hatch and live inside of the shark until they're born.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a weird kind of cross between a reptilian and a mammal. It's not kind of either or. I don't
think it's called viviparous.
What is it?
Viviparous.
Okay, I'm glad you told
that's
me that.
That's where they develop an egg inside, and then the baby hatches inside and gives live birth. And then ovoviparous is live birth. Ovoviparous is egg layer.
Okay.
So it'll actually lay an egg, like some of your skates and a couple of your bamboo sharks and a couple of those guys. They're
right.
Actually where they'll actually lay an egg sac, so to speak.
Walking encyclopedia. That's Robert. Okay. So anyway, heading up around Placida. What's going on in Placida?
Placida's doing pretty good because, you know, the sheep's head are starting to leave the harbor and getting ready to go wherever they go. So you're finding not quantities, but definitely quality on the sheephead.
Yeah, people always think of sheephead as living around the piers and bridges and everything, but they don't. They like living in the Gulf. They only come back up here to make the babies, and then they haul butt back out to deep water.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not 100% sure where they really go, but, I mean, everyone catches them at the reefs offshore early on this time of year, and throughout, off and on throughout the whole summertime.
Right. But once they're done with the whole baby dance, they book off and get to the reefs out in the Gulf. They don't really hang around inside the harbor or in the intercoastal that much. You always have a few.
Yeah, like any other species here, there's always those few that just don't leave.
And but it's really surprising how many of the sheephead are hauling butt out of the harbor at this point. And
right.
Placida on and off, as you get a big school moves in, and you get some really good fishing, a lot of big fish, and it's on and then it's off.
Yep.
And they're heading out through the passes. You know, if you're lucky enough to intersect with them while they're coming by, you're going to have a great day there on that trestle. But the trestle is also doing really good on a lot of sharks. We got some Spanish mackerel, tarpon showing up there at night.
Tarpon, yeah, the nighttime with the tarpon, a few occasional oversized redfish, a lot of snook, and then some really good mangrove snapper also.
Now, if I'm going to go there snook fishing, I want that 15 bomber, that suspending one. Gives me a little more depth. I like the blue back with the silver and the orange belly on it. I've thrown that out there and caught so many big snook.
Yeah.
I think you would actually catch more with the blue and silver with the orange belly on the Rattlin Rogue, but you're going to go through more lures because they're going to tear them apart. The lure was made for bass, and it's just not that strong. You'll rip up a few of them, but boy, I think you'd catch more fish with the Rattlin Rogue, but the bomber will hold together better.
Absolutely. And see, me, on the other hand, I'd be throwing a bucktail. I'd be throwing a bucktail probably, and even a bucktail with a curly tail grub on it just for added. That's just kind of my personal favorite out there.
Right.
You know, the Bomber and the Maverick, I can catch fish on it, but I'm just a little more confident with that. But they both work so well, and the funny part is, you notice we mentioned lures that are all 30 and 40 years old because they still work.
Well, it's like they still work.
And they're not $30 and $40 lures.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the reasons I throw aboard, because they're like $5 to $6 or $8. I'm just not into these $18, $20 lures.
No.
Every time somebody comes up with a new lure, it's always, I mean, there's several around right now, and everybody's bringing them in. They're $18, $20, $30, and I'm like, yeah, I know they'll catch fish, but good God, man, I'm going to take a mortgage on my house to throw a lure,
right?
You know. And now, when we get around to PGI and talking about snook on the lights, the only one of those high-end ones that's actually doing pretty well is that that weird one, the bait cluster one from Live Target.
Oh, the bait ball.
The bait ball, that's it. Yeah. That's weird. It's expensive, but it does work on the lights. It's the only full-size lure I've seen actually catch fish on the lights.
With consistency.
Yeah, it looks like a bunch of little minnows inside a clear plastic thing. And so that is working, but it's expensive, but, you know, it does catch fish.
That's
so
pretty cool.
I'm going to be grabbing a few more of the Ozuris. If anybody knows of a lure, I want to add a couple new lure lines this year. I'm trying to decide what to add. So if you have anything, email me, frank@fishandfranks.com. If you have a line of lures you would like us to carry, because I've got about 3 foot by 6 foot of wall space I opened up. Don't know what to put in it. And I've been trying to decide what brand of lures to carry, and I don't have a clue. You know, there's so many different lures out there. You know, we've been going back and forth, this one, that one, and I don't know what we're going to do. So right. if you have an opinion, drop me an email or whatever. So anyway, but going up north, along the Intercoastal, you can fish mackerel all through the ICW. You've got some sharks in the ICW. Getting up into Lemon Bay, what's going on in Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay has been pretty good. The snook are starting to move around a whole lot through there. There's been some decent whiting. The trout have been in some of the deeper sand holes, but not consistent by any stretch. Underneath the docks have been some snook and a few oddball redfish, even some pompano and flounder hanging out around there. And then as you get closer out there towards the Stump Pass area, that's when you're really starting to notice like the sheep's head, the larger whiting, flounder, what else? Spanish mackerel, bluefish, assorted varieties and sizes of sharks. I even heard of 2 little bonefish being caught out there. And it's a little early for that. We usually hear about them in like late May, early June when that water gets real warm.
But I'm pretty sure the water's fairly warm right now.
Yeah.
You go ahead and do that. I'm going to look up the water temp.
Okay. As you go out along the beach there through Stump Pass, working along the beaches basically, and I don't care if you're in Bonita all the way up to Sarasota right now, as you get closer to the passes, they are just doing very, very well.
Okay, Naples, 78 degrees. St. Pete, 78.1 in Naples, 78.8 in St. Pete. Pensacola still at 72.5, so they're going to be getting a lot of king mackerel up there. That's great, good temperatures for king mackerel up there. So we're going to be looking at 78 degree water temp right now,
right,
which is really kind of prime for getting those bonefish to come up this area.
Right.
I got to figure out a way of adding the air and water temps to our new log page.
That'd be kind of cool.
So because each year is so weird, that I'm going to have to add some type of water temps, so when you go on the log, you can figure out what the weather and temperature was like, as well as the what fish were caught.
Well, think about this. You know, we've always talked about that 65, 66 to 72 degree water temperature being ideal for kings.
68 to 72, yeah.
Okay. Now, look at it for the last couple of years. Those fish have been coming through here when it's 75, 76, 78 degrees.
I think that's because it got warm so quick. But
I don't know, the last couple of years.
When you go up, how years ago, Naples would be 3 to 5 degrees warmer than us, and then St. Pete, and then up there. And, I mean, you're only talking 72 up in Pensacola versus 78 here. And just a few years ago, it would stay 72 in Pensacola and a lot longer. And those right. fish would migrate north looking for that cooler water. Right. I just don't think they can find the cooler water anymore. So I think they're just going wherever the food is.
Right.
I don't think they have that prime temp that they can go to.
Right. The temperature isn't as...
Did we do Lemon Bay?
No.
Okay.
We did right there through Stump Pass. Is kind of where we... Well, we finished Lemon Bay right there in the docks and stuff.
I went over to get a cup of coffee.
And then we were just starting out on the beaches.
Okay, along the beaches, the craziest thing ever, they're catching king mackerel casting from land.
That's pretty cool.
That's weird. And now I've been hearing everything from blackfin tuna, king mackerel, all this stuff within sight of shore. I mean...
There's enough bait out there, it wouldn't surprise me.
It's the flounder.
You're not going to target tuna.
I got a 24-inch flounder off Cape Hayes.
Really?
Forgot about that. That was one of the things.
Wow, that's a pig.
Yeah, really nice flounder
that's
off
like
Cape Hayes over there. Yeah, and the flounder all through that area. I forgot about that when we were talking about Cape Hayes, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. We're seeing a real resurgence of the flounder activity here in the harbor.
Nice.
And then going up along the barrier islands, along the beaches and stuff, there's a few flounders, some whiting, a lot of Spanish mackerel, even some king mackerel. They're catching kings in the harbor here as well as right off the beach. Now, this is the first year anybody's been telling me they're catching kings standing on land casting out.
Right.
This is weird.
Yeah, I've heard of it a couple times over the years, but it's usually someone who kayaked their bait out there a long darn ways and dropped off a live bait in the water in hopes of who knows what. But it's so unusual to get something like that with consistency.
Oh, that's my coffee boiling away. I was wondering what that noise was. My coffee pot over there boiling. It's just been the craziest year. If you're going to walk the beaches walking along... Snook are moving out along the beaches. I mean, all the way from really Venice all the way down to Sanibel.
Yeah. Every bit of that.
And they're just starting to come out because May is the prime time to spawn.
Yeah.
So
the next full moon.
Yeah, the next full moon, we're going to start seeing these snook spawning all over the place. The little bucks are chasing the females, and it all... We had just a little bit of rain. I think we've got more coming, and that rain is going to help get them snook out of the harbor, back out to the Gulf where they belong, because when they spawn and it's salt water, the eggs float, and most of them survive. When they spawn in fresh water, most of the eggs will sink, and they don't survive. So this is really critical to our snook populations, getting that rain at the right time, and it's coming in perfect time. We had a little rain last night. We got more coming over the next day or so. Nothing to disrupt lives or anything, but just enough to get the snook to move.
Hopefully.
So I would say...
Early mornings and evenings are doing pretty good for... Obviously, some of the snook that are there, but there's been some bigger redfish that have been moving in and out sporadically. You know, and the closer you get to any of the passes, the better the fishing has been, obviously. But, you know, Manasota Beach, Inglewood Beach, even the north end of Boca Grande there, there's been some, you know, redfish in that 30 to 35 inch range in the early mornings and in the evenings coming in and out.
Yeah. Now, going out in the Gulf, we're seeing king mackerel, blackfin tuna, some bonita, a lot of Spanish mackerel,
cobia,
amberjack.
Starting to pop up all over the place.
Permit, and I mean, there's just so many different fish to choose from. How's the bottom fishing been?
Bottom fishing's been good. The mangrove snapper bite's starting to get real good because, once again, going into the summertime, you get those aggregates of snapper that start to ball up on the reefs getting ready for their spawns. So you'll find a lot more fish moving in and throughout there, and they'll be in isolated little spots. And when you find that nut, it's pretty cool. But there's been some really good lanes out there. The vermilion snapper bite's been really pretty good for the last couple weeks. And all that's within, you know, say 6 to 15 miles ashore. The grunts have been good, sheep's head. The red grouper have been sporadic. 25 to 35 miles has been absolutely the best, but there are some guys that are finding some pretty decent fish, especially a little bit more towards the north off of Inglewood and Venice, that are within, you know, 20 mile mark. There are some triple tail too, also still out there on those crab trap buoys. You've only got about another month, I think, of that, because don't they have to remove the pots there in May for stone crabs? Doesn't it close down then?
I think so, yeah.
I think May is when it closes. So
triple tail as well. I mean, this has been, right now, we've been in that magic moment of fishing. And hopefully if the weather stays consistent with a little bit of rain, cloud cover we're getting, it's not getting super hot.
Remind me why we're sitting here doing this and not doing that.
Yeah, I know, because it's our job.
Oh, that's right.
We want to eat and live indoors.
Damn it.
Pay my IRS bills.
Right.
So, yeah. Remind me why I'm not taking any days off. Oh, yeah. Audit. Okay. Anyway. Yay.
Let's see. There was no crowd for that one.
Yeah. Now, so, anyway. Whether you're in the near reefs like Tremblay and Mary's and all that. Now, M16 up by Venice has had some really nice fish on it. Going out to the Palm Island Ferry, there's been some good fish on that too, as far as closer reefs. But if you can get around any of the reefs, the Pegasus, the Bay Ronto, any of the sunken boats, you got tons of amberjack. You got all kinds of fish. I mean, it's crazy.
Amberjack, sharks, grouper, jewfish, goliath grouper. And the sharks are of all sizes. I mean, they're getting them from 3-footers all the way up to like the 8 and 10 foot bull sandbars. Some hammers are around. I've heard of one tiger shark being spotted so far out there. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening, without a doubt.
Okay. So anyway, we've just got so much stuff going on in the Gulf. If you can get down here or get out in the Gulf here in the next 3 to 4 weeks, you should have some of the most spectacular fishing.
Absolutely.
You've run into. Even in the harbor, it's been great. Coming down along Gasparilla Pass, anything happening there?
Gasparilla Pass got some Spanish mackerel in it and some mangrove snapper, a few whiting along the edges with an oddball flounder, and then there's been some tarpon moving in and out of there too. They're just starting to show up there. No consistency on them, but they're definitely very, very possible. And then as you move down to Boca Grand Pass, they've been staying in there pretty steady for about the last 3 weeks. Every day there's just more and more fish showing up out there.
Gotcha.
Same way down towards Captiva Pass, you're getting sporadic movements of fish, but enough consistency where if you're going to devote a day to it, you're going to probably hook a couple fish. As you get closer down towards between Captiva Pass and Redfish Pass, a lot more bigger mangrove snapper in those two passes than any of them, along with some sheep's head, Spanish mackerel, king mackerel. They've all been moving in and out of there. There's been a lot of bait down there. I mean, there's bait everywhere off the beaches right now, but it seems like it's getting pushed in harder right there through Redfish and Captiva Pass. So you're hearing of more blue runners, some bigger jacks, the king mackerel, a lot of little and bigger sharks, kind of a mixed rev up of them. Also down by Sanibel right there off of Knapp's Point on the southern tip there, there's been some pretty consistent tarpon fishing there too. And those tarpon are from right on the beach to about 5 miles offshore. And the water's clear enough down there right now that guys are literally seeing them swimming in daisy chains along the bottom out there. And, you know, 5 miles offshore, they're seeing them on the bottom casting a shadow like a big ball of bait.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, this is definitely the time of year where you bring literally a trout pole, a shark pole, a tarpon pole. You want to bring a complete arsenal because there's just so much that you could potentially do in the day if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's actually pretty amazing how far out in the Gulf you can be and see the bottom and, you know, actually watching the fish chase each other. When they go around a daisy chain, the most likely guess to that is they're getting to know the tarpon in front of them.
Yeah, that's
like dogs.
Yeah, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the coolest part was when we went flying in that helicopter and saw the guys that guy casting off the front of the boat with the fish daisy chaining literally like 20, 30 feet off the back of his boat.
You can't say it enough. You know, Robert and I, we're about 500 feet up in a helicopter, and we're watching, and here's this guy with a fly rod. It could have been any type of rod, but he happened to be doing fly fishing. And he's there giving it his all. He's crouched down. He's making these great casts, and he's doing all this stuff. But he's so intent on what's happening in front of him and what he's looking for and what he thinks he sees. We're looking straight down in the whole thing. And literally 6 feet off his boat, there's a daisy chain. 15 feet past that is another daisy chain. 6 feet past that is another one. There was half a dozen daisy chains of tarpon all right off the back of his boat. It looked like he was probably using a trolling motor or something, but they were all immediately off the back. If he would have turned his head, I'm sure there would have been a brown spot in his shorts. He would have probably scared him to death. The fish were so big and so close.
Yeah.
But
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of what's been going on. The basis behind that is simply to remember when you're doing this, don't get so caught up in what you're doing that you forget to look around.
Absolutely. And then as you move in through Sanibel, going up into the Caloosahatchee a little bit, there's a lot of tarpon moving around through there, a lot of snook. And then moving up towards Ponarasa, you know, south end of Pine Island. Same thing kind of going on. If you're out in the deeper flats, you're finding a few bigger trout, but not any numbers. You know, a little better quality, but no numbers. And then there's the Spanish mackerel, a lot of little sharks around there, a few pompano popping up all over the place. I think the key thing is down there, either fish the outside islands for your snook and your redfish, or fish those deeper sand holes for your other varieties of fish. Moving up there towards Captiva Rocks, you know, there's been some flounder around that nice, you know, long, big sandbar there with a few oddball redfish. Redfish have been really, really elusive this year. I mean, it's one of the funkiest years I've seen with redfish in a long time, personally.
Right.
But the few guys that are getting into them are getting into some fairly okay ones, just not great numbers. You're going to work really hard all day long to catch yourself maybe a dozen redfish of any size. Up towards Boquilla, around that whole north end of Pine Island, lots of bait moving in there, a lot of varieties of bait too. It's thread fins and also scaled sardines, white bait. Out there on those deeper flats, the Spanish mackerel, some trout, some nice jacks. A lot of little sharks kind of moving in and out of there, too. If you move over closer to the shoreline there on the north end of Boquilla, that's where they're getting a few flounder up along that shoreline. Some sheep's head that are starting to move out. Some pompano been along in there. And then, of course, some snook moving all throughout that whole shoreline.
Yeah, I just loading the tarpon maps back up.
No problem.
Yeah.
Down towards Matlache has been really weird. I haven't had a lot of really great feedback on Matlache this last week or so. I know they're getting some Spanish mackerel and some mangrove snapper and some sheep's head off down there, but the redfish and snook have been kind of funky. We've got a lot of snook moving out of those Cape Coral canals and the little islands right there, but they're not in any of the creeks. They've all moved out to the outside edges of all the islands.
And the docks are loaded up. Big, huge snook. Even under the bridge there, you're going to find some big snook. A lot of snook around Matlache right now. You've got a little bit of fish underneath the bridge. But the fishing's actually pretty darn good. It's just, you know, don't look in the usual spots. Look more for a dock or a pier or something, you know, a little bit of structure, because those fish are going from one structure to the next, working their way out towards the Gulf to do the spawning. Right. So that's going to be your primary target areas.
You're also getting a lot of tarpon moving around through there. All the juvenile tarpon and sub-adults are moving out of those Cape Coral canals, so you're starting to see a good mix of tarpon throughout that whole area. You know, one cast it's a 10-pound tarpon, and the next cast it could be a possibly 120-pound tarpon. So keep your eyes out down there for that. And then as you're working up your way down the shoreline from, say, Matlache up towards Burnt Store, the outside edges of all those islands, obviously, are the snook, few redfish, On top of the bar and closer towards some of the deeper water, there's been some flounder, Spanish mackerel, a lot of small little sharks cruising through there too. And the cool part about all those little sharks is they're moving around a lot just like everything else is. You may not catch anything. My best suggestion for any of those little sharks, if you're wanting to do it, throw a chum bag over. If you don't get anything within a half hour, move.
Oh, yeah.
Move a half a mile.
I'm going to say 40 minutes. Because now when you and I go, I usually figure half hour, but it sometimes takes me up to 40, 45 minutes before I start catching fish.
Right.
But remember, not all the fish are on the bottom, not all the fish are on the top. Throw one line out with a float, one line out free line, one line out with a sinker. You want three lines, and one of the two on the bottom, if you can put them out, I'd like to see two on the bottom, one with shrimp and one with some type of bait fish, because you're going to get those little baby hammerhead bonnets, and they're just a riot to catch, light tackle, and they want shrimp.
Yeah.
And so, you know, two lines on the bottom, one with a shrimp, one with a piece of cut fish. Now, the cut fish on the bottom should be a big chunk. I mean, fist size, half of 3-pound mullet or something like that, big chunk of bonita. And then the float line can be really anything from a sardine out, and then your free line can be any mixture of size bait you want. But there's so many different types of sharks, so many different fish you can catch. Keep in mind all the mackerel that your chum bag is going to bring up and all the other fish. I mean, and mackerel from kings to Spanish in the harbor. Yeah. Crazy, crazy. I mean, just ridiculous fishing right now.
Right, absolutely.
And the other thing is the cobia.
Yeah, the cobia are all over the place.
Get that power bait eel and have it sitting on a spinning rod. And just when he comes up, just slow twitch it. Just let it kind of eel along, you know. You know what an eel should look like, and that's how you want to twitch that lure. Practice with it a little bit so you get good with it. And then when you see that cobia, you can just twitch it right in front of him, and he'll just suck it up like crazy. But the Berkeley power bait eel is the one to get.
Yeah, that's a real good one. So we also got some of those Savage eels coming.
Yeah.
They're rigged because he doesn't have too many of the Berkeley ones, so I ordered a couple of the other stuff too.
Well, we'll see what they look like.
They're pretty impressive. Yeah. They're a little bit more spendier than a Berkeley one.
Of course, it's Savage. They charge a lot for their stuff.
If you see this thing work in the water, you don't need to do anything but cast it and reel. It's stupid.
Wow.
Okay. We saw them at the show, and it's impressive.
I like that crab. I want to try and throw that crab.
That thing's pretty wicked in the tank, too.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that. Terry actually wants to fish that crab.
That eel is ridiculous. I mean, it's one of the most realistic-looking eels I've ever seen. It's got a tail similar to, like, a culprit worm tail. You know, a nice curl tail to it where you just kind of work it along and just... It's pretty stupid.
All right. Well, we'll give it some of the guys at Bayshore and see how it works.
I think you'll be impressed by it.
Bayshore Pier, I mean, they're... Cobia,
we're not there yet.
I thought we went past it.
Oh, yeah, we did go past it.
Yeah, we went past Bayshore Pier.
We went from 41 Bridge to the Port Charlotte Canals.
And but getting back to Bayshore, the cobia fishing has been stupid out there.
Yeah.
And it's all on artificial.
That entire shoreline.
Yeah, you can catch it on chunks of whiting, chunks of ladyfish, mullet, sardines, even on shrimp under popping corks. But throwing the lures is just... absolutely insane right now, and it's the big hoagies, but the Berkeley power bait eels, and hopefully the new Savage eel. We'll see how that one works out. But if you're looking for cobia land wise right now, Bayshore Pier is your spot if you can find room. The pier is packed.
Yeah.
The other place I would go is
Didn't
Gilcrest.
Take long.
Gilcrest,
yeah, Gilcrest
Pier
is always good,
and Bayshore Pier. But if you got room on either of the two Bayshore piers, there's two piers out there, not just one. You can catch them off either one. They're going to go by one. They're going to go by the other. And if you don't have room on that pier, get over to Gilcrest.
There
but coming back up, did we do the east side yet?
No.
I've been working on tarpon maps and doing everything else. I've spent, 4 hours on this stupid website today?
Easily
4 hours on fishing reports and updating the fishing logs. And, God, this thing's a monster. Now I know where my life went. It went into this computer. It's been sucked into it.
You're like that little kid. Quiet back there and just watch your movie.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
Yeah.
We got more compliments, and that thing is such a great, great...
Well, the new logbook is going to be cool.
Plethora of information.
The new logbook is going to be pretty cool. But I'm changing some of the headers around, getting everything more specific. Keep in mind, you have the main fishing report. You have radio fishing, and you have the fishing updates and reports, the blog, which is pretty cool to get onto. Did we do the east side, Robert?
Not yet.
Okay, so I'm going to do the east side for you guys. You've got a lot of snook that are leaving PGI, Port Charlotte, and all these places and coming down from upriver, and they're all heading around, working their way down that shoreline. But you've got some snook out by the bar, but those are going to be some big, old, very wary ones. And the ones you're looking for to have a little more fun with, more likely to catch, are the ones that are cruising along the shorelines of the islands, going from one island to the next, looking for a little staging area, then working down again, and literally island by island, like we were talking about in Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, where you've got fish in a bunch, then they move down and they get another bunch, and it's just been like that all the way up and down. But the snook are primarily back by the islands. You do have out on the bar cobia and sharks. I mean, I was writing about it earlier, and this is one of the coolest times to be cruising the sandbars. Get your boat staying about 3 or 4 feet of water and at a moderately fast idle. You want to be going slow unless you're pretty sharp with seeing this stuff. But if you're going slow and just stand up in the boat and look, and you're going to see cobia, sharks, and just drifting along. You'll come right up on top of them. But idling along is a little easier in my brain. I don't really have the patience for the drift. But to actually watch these fish and just cruising along, chasing bait, just kind of hanging out in their lives, and it is spectacular to see. I mean, literally, just, you know, talking about cruising down the shoreline on the east side, seeing the cobia and the sharks,
yeah,
and everything.
Water is gin clear right now.
Gin clear.
I mean, this next month and a half is where the water is at its clearest anywhere.
You're seeing 30 to 90 pound fish in a foot and a half to 3 feet of water, and it's like looking at them under glass.
I love it when you come across like a tarpon or a big cobia, and you're like, is that a palm tree? Oh no, palm trees don't swim. Look at that. Holy crap. You know, and then you really get to, because you see it from a distance, so it's just kind of a shadow. And as you get closer to it, it realizes kind of that you're there at the same time as you realize it's a fish. It's really, really, really spectacular.
I mean, I know we're supposed to.
And I always go back to that spotted eagle ray that you took me to see, that giant one, that 5-footer down in Pine Island Sound, where we just kind of paralleled next to it. I mean, that was just some of the coolest. That's one of my more fonder, cooler memories of that.
You know, I know getting a shot at casting at him, hooking him up, and all that is magnificent. But in your brain, to have the picture in your mind of that water and this monster fish going down the shoreline is just unreal. And, you know, it was funny. I just had a guy come in the other day, and he was telling me, you know, I'd taken him on one of the best charters of his life that he had, you know, him and his buddy were, this was probably 20 years ago, about 15 years ago, and he was talking about it. He was still talking about the trip I took him on, and it was kind of embarrassing because I remember it as one of my nightmare, you know, holy, you know, Hail Mary trips, because I knew where a lot of fish were. But it was one of those crowded times where everybody was out on the water. And so I kept going from one spot to the next spot to the next spot, trying to find anything, get some stuff going, and get stuff worked up. And finally, we were just about ready to call it a day on a very, very poor trip. And I saw a spot open. And there had been people fishing in there. But that didn't worry me, because unless you know how to fish the spot, you don't catch anything.
Right.
You can get there, you'll catch like maybe a little fish or two. But there is so many monster fish in that little bay, and there's just no reason for them to be there. You have to know how the bay's laid out, where to put your boat, and how to put it. And it was just funny. He was talking about all the big redfish we caught and everything else, and I kept thinking about how much time I had to waste to get my shot in on those fish. I was like, I was so embarrassed that day. It turned out to be a spectacular trip, but if you put the time in.
Right.
But we saw a lot of cool stuff that day, and they caught more redfish from, I would say the smallest one we caught was probably 28 inches. The biggest one was probably 36 or 38 in a little bay on the east side of the harbor.
Nice.
And going into it, there's only about, I mean, these fish, when they're coming out, then they're fighting, they have their backs out of the water. It's that shallow.
Wow.
And then it drops off in a little trough in the back. But you got to keep your boat way back. I used to carry 8-foot rods just for that spot. And if I could zing them back there far enough, every time I hit there, big fish on. It was just spectacular. But it's one of the memories of seeing those fish as they're crossing that shallow water hooked up coming out right. to where we were. And that's what kind of reminded me of it, the just the visual of all these, because it's so shallow, the water's so clear, and they're just, I mean, unbelievable. Spectacular
cool
things
to remember.
Cool little
torpedo coming through.
Yeah, it's just the memories of watching these fish. And I wasn't even the one hooked up. I mean, there was four, you know, I think three or four of them, and they were all hooked up at one point. You know, we had quadruples on a big fish, and it was...
Wow.
But just seeing it and just the memory of the sight of it all, and that's like cruising the sandbars right now, or just getting back there and drifting down the bars and watching all the stuff. The visuals was just unbelievable. And then, I mean, I wish I was one of the guys on the rod that day, but, you know,
right.
I had done it before, so it was okay. Anyway, as we're coming back up, getting around Alligator Creek, we've got a lot of jacks in Alligator Creek, some big snook coming out now to do the spawn.
Mangrove snapper.
Oh, man, some unbelievable mangrove snapper fishing this year, on and off for this whole season.
Yeah, this whole last year in general.
We count our year as like October through now. Our years start in August. They don't start in January.
No.
You know, our season down here, we start September is when our season kind of gets going, and then it goes around, and our season actually ends the 4th of July.
Right.
And that's kind of how we count years. Everybody else counts it as 14, 15. I never remember that part of it. I mean, I know the winter of, or, you know what I mean?
The hurricane of.
Sorry about that, guys. I didn't mean to break your eardrum. But there's a lot of fish going on. Getting up around PGI, a lot of big jacks, some big snook left
up really
in
nice
there.
It's really nice to see the jacks coming back.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
I wonder if the price of jacks dropped. It's such a high price food
something
fish.
Something changed. I mean, there's definitely something has changed, which is fine with me. I mean, the more jacks, the better it is.
Yeah, I don't think you could have enough jacks anywhere. No. They're just most... If they learned to jump, they would be the number one game fish in the world the next day.
Absolutely.
You would not be allowed to keep one. They'd be a protected species.
Yep.
I mean, all they have to do is learn how to jump. I wish I could speak better fish. You know, I would tell them, learn to jump. It'll save you. You'll never be caught again. You know, you'll never be taken again.
Exactly.
Because can you imagine a jack flying out of the water with all that power that it has?
I can't even fathom it.
And I've caught jacks in the Pacific. Well, that one was probably about 35, 40 pounds. And in the Atlantic, I've caught big jacks. And in the Gulf, I've caught nice jacks. I think the biggest one I've ever caught around here is probably 20 pounds. But some amazing, I mean, amazing fighting fish. But a lot of mangrove snappers in the canals right now in PGI and all that. Really cool snapper fishing.
A lot of juvenile tarpon around, some nice black drum. Been some okay sand brim sporadically through there too. Getting mixed reports on those guys. Even some pompano right at the mouths of the canals, you know, like Bass Inlet and Colony Point.
Yeah.
A couple guys have gotten into some pompano there, along with a couple cobia too.
Yeah, well, so if we could get the commercial shrimping out of Charlotte Harbor, I think we could even have a lot more fish.
I think we'd have a lot more flounder for sure.
A lot more flounder, a lot more fish. Well, a lot more food means a lot more fish.
Right.
The more food you have, and everything eats shrimp. I mean, you know, there's times of year when whitebait's better for catching the fish, but all year long they eat shrimp. And if we could get those, so there wasn't tons of shrimp being killed at night, that would be a big, big bonus.
Yeah.
National Estuary. Why is anybody commercial shrimping in it? I don't get it. But anyway, coming back around through the middle of the harbor, Marker 2, Spanish mackerel, cobia. Marker 1, Spanish mackerel, cobia. The deep holes in the harbor, the 20-foot hole, you got tarpon. The middle hole, you got tarpon. The part harbor hole, you got tarpon. As you're coming along, all these have sharks in them. There's catfish. There's Spanish mackerel. There's
incidental king mackerel.
King mackerel. The whole middle of the harbor's just lit up. Take a chum bag out.
You've even got some Goliath grouper because they're getting ready to move offshore. So the ones that have been up around the El Jobin Bridge and Placida Trestle and stuff like that are getting ready to leave.
What? Did you yell for me? No, I'm just yelling in general. Sorry. You're up next, Kale. We're going to do a fishing thing with Captain Kale here in just a few minutes. But a spectacular time. Get a chum bag. If you've got a group of family and you want to catch some fish, go down about the middle hole, Pirate Harbor hole, Marker 5, somewhere, you know, southern end of the harbor. Drop the anchor, put the chum bag out, or if you want to drift, But as soon as you start getting the fish up, you need to drop your anchor. You want to keep the fish with you, not following a chum bag.
Right.
And be prepared for almost anything from little Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, I can't even think of sharks and tarpon everything. And cobia. And so have a rod rigged for everything.
Yeah.
And spread your baits everything. Out from the bottom to the top.
Man, there's so much variety out there right now. There's no reason why you shouldn't be out there taking advantage of it.
Yeah, it's literally off the hook amazing at this point.
I mean, you pick the species and you have every opportunity to catch it just about.
And you're just going to have a lot of fun out there with all the different fish. And we had a guy come in, and the regular listens to Radio Fishing, and which I really appreciate you guys listening to. I know we're real sporadic, but we do the best we can. We've had, you know, he was listening to us tell him about where to go and what to do, and he's just been having the time of his life.
Perfect.
And he's regular at the Luigi's meetings, and this month the meeting's going to be on Spanish mackerel, guys. We're going to do a whole thing about Spanish mackerel. I'm going to show you, we've got new clear crystal beads to go with the
casting
bubbles. So American Fishing Wire just sent us new beads to work with the casting bubbles.
We need to stock up on those Clark spoons.
The Clark spoons, everything. If I get a little bit of time, I'm going to build up a bunch of my Fish and Frank rigs, so guaranteed to catch fish. And it's the only lure in the world where if you're pulling my rig and you see somebody else catch a fish and you don't, I'll buy it back.
Well, within reason. You can't be sitting on the flats.
No, I don't care. If they're pulling my rig and they see somebody else catch a fish and they don't, I'll buy it back. Okay. I mean, it's expensive, but, you know, I mean, I've had one person say they saw somebody else caught a fish and they didn't in all the years I've been building that rig, so.
Right.
And it's been a long time.
Exactly.
A long time on that ridiculous rig.
So it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, well, part of the man, the myth, the walk around living legend stuff.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. A guy was in the Bahamas and he was pulling a Fish and Frank rig. And the guy says, oh, well, this is a... The guy goes, no, it's not. It's a Fish and Frank rig. We know where that came from. You know, it's like, give me a break.
That's okay. Funny.
So, yeah, I've had several of my rigs that people come up and they're telling me about this rig. And I'm going, yeah, well, that's really cool.
Yeah, never seen that before. Yeah. That's pretty original.
Yeah, I know. I invented it. Okay. So sorry about that, but it's just weird after almost 30 years of teaching people stuff, how stuff that I...
Comes around.
Yeah, I taught and did over the years, and now it's become, you know, this or that or the next thing. So anyway, waxing nostalgic and weird here.
Yes.
Back to the fishing. Anything we need to go over before we wrap this up?
Not too much. I mean, other than we got another 4 to 6 weeks of this chaos of all the different varieties of species before it starts to settle down to where you're limited to several species. Take advantage of every moment of beautiful weather and take your family and friends out and have a good time.
Yeah, check your sunblock, because I can tell you the days are hot right now, but it's not overbearing. And this is the time of year when you're going to get sunburned.
Real quick.
Because you're not going to notice you're getting cooked.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pretty mild.
Especially since us Floridians have been stuck inside our caves pretty much all winter.
Yeah. So, you know, keep a double check on your sunscreen, good polarized glasses. Even if you get inexpensive ones, we've got polarized glasses from $4.95 up. I mean, we've got glasses that start at $4.95 polarized. So we've got captains who are buying them to put on their boats so that when their customers can't see anything, they don't have to give them their glasses.
Are smart enough captains to do that?
Actually, three.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, they're
impressed.
Sticking them in a bag and putting them on the boat so that, because otherwise they got to hand their glasses to the customers because they can't see anything. They're not wearing the right glasses. They don't see anything. So anyway, for $5, it'll get you through a day. But we also have the good stuff.
There you go.
Real good stuff.
Yes.
So anyway, I guess that's about it. Yeah. I can't think of anything else we should be doing or going through. And so let's see. Nope, not that one. Not that one. Let's try that one.
There we go.
And you can buy this song on Amazon.
Nothing.